This is the Big E Sports Show
on the SportsMap Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go. It is Saturday morning. Welcome in. SportsMap Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with today's program, many different ways to connect. Always love to hear from our audience at eRadio Sports. Info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And perhaps you need a replacement part or tool for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project. O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, the professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. We have got so much we're going to get into over the next 2 hours. Lots of college football talk. College football reporter from Sports Illustrated, Ross Dellinger, is going to be with us. Also some NFL news and notes. But right now we're going to pot up the mic and visit with my producer, and that is Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter at JackMC15. And typically we start off our conversation talking about our Cowboys, but I think one of the big headlines this week is the Buccaneers. I mean, Antonio Brown is expected to make his debut. Would you want AB? Would you want him on your team, Jack?
At this point of his career, I think that he's maybe a little bit more mentally stable, that he knows that this is his last opportunity in the NFL. So for me as a GM, I wouldn't touch that, but I understand why Tom Brady wants him, because Mike Evans and Chris Godwin have been banged up and inconsistent this season. So you're adding one more dynamic receiver. I think it only would work out on the Buccaneers, and because Tom Brady wants him. Because remember, Bruce Arians said he didn't even want this guy.
Tom Brady has really wrapped his arms around him as kind of his rehabilitation project. I mean, what do you think about him taking him into his home? You think he's hanging out with Giselle by the pool?
I would like to think that in a giant Tom Brady mansion that Antonio Brown and Tom Brady probably aren't having that much interaction. They're not making breakfast or cooking dinner together. But I think it's a very nurturing thing that he did and try to bring him back into the league.
Do you think that he will, when we're talking about Antonio Brown, that this will give him an opportunity to perhaps resurrect his career?
I think it's his last opportunity, and he's on a good team with a quarterback that he knows and with a coach that knows how to use him. So this is Antonio Brown's last shot to be a true Pro Bowl receiver again.
We are locked and loaded. SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back. Much more coming your way.
The Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. And you know what? It's game day. Time to get you ready for some college football. Oklahoma, they are back at home after their Halloween road trip in Lubbock. The Sooners have now won 9 consecutive games against Texas Tech. And joining us this morning to provide some insight and some answers from 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Always a regular guest on our program. We love him. And that is James Hale. Hi, James. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and Oklahoma, a big favorite against Kansas today, and so it's going to be an interesting game because Kansas can't beat OU. I predicted earlier today, if Kansas turned it over 9 times, which in 1978, the great Sooners of Thomas Lott and that group, Victor Hicks, Dick Vick, and Darrell Hunt, George Cumbie and that great team, fumbled 9 times against Nebraska, and still had the ball at the 2-yard line trying to win the game when Billy Sims fumbled at the end. And I said, Kansas, Oklahoma can fumble 9 times against KU and still win the game. They didn't beat Nebraska that day because Nebraska was the number 2 team in the country. But, that's how, again, Kansas is not very good. Oklahoma should win easily.
You know, I'm looking at Oklahoma's schedule. It's been a while since they've been played at home, correct?
They haven't played in 43 days. I mean, they haven't played in the whole month of October. Never before in the history of OU football have they not had a game scheduled in October. But that's just the weirdness of the COVID-19 schedule. When they redid the schedule, again, the Cotton Bowl is considered a neutral site game, but that's considered a road game, in OU's parlance. And so you know, it's just, you know, look, you know, it's a weird, weird deal. No question about it. And it's strange. Again, I've been reminding people what we got to do on a home game. You know, it's like, okay, I got to do this. Where am I going to park? What am I going to do? You know, because you haven't been here so long.
James Hale is our very special guest, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. He's the host of Total Sports, 1400 KREF, sportstalk1400.com. James, let's pause before we get too far into our interview. Where can our listeners connect with you and also sign up for a Patreon, Die Hard Sooner Reports?
Well, all you got to do is Google James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report. I do 3 to 5 short podcasts today. And I get to the point, you know, if I get to the news, there's short, a lot of people doing 45 minutes to an hour podcast every day. That's not what we do at Die Hard Sooner Report. If you want to know what's going on at OU, we give it to you in a short, precise manner. Small donation to the cause, and everybody's rocking and rolling. That's James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report.
Okay, as we talk about Oklahoma, give us a quick recap of that 62-28 rout of the Red Raiders. I mean, it was an impressive performance.
It was. They played a great, probably their best all-around game. They played two back-to-back games where they played really well, you know, and they played well enough that either side could have won the game. They played great in special teams, too. The team's coming together, E. They're playing better. Spencer Rattler's settling in. He's losing a receiver here, gets one back, so he's having to deal with that a little bit, but they got Ramondre Stevenson back in the backfield. This guy's a pro running back. It's 6 foot, 241, 4.5 speed in the 40. Great balance. He returns and he's their best backfield talent. Now that Kennedy Brooks has opted out for the year and has opted out since the beginning of the year, so Oklahoma's running the ball better. T.J. Pledger's become a good running back for them, and they've got Seth McGowan, who's a good player. You know, this defense is getting better too. I know they lost their three best players from a year ago, but it's the second year of the guys playing in the defense. And I think that, I think that is really coming to fruition. I think they're playing better. They know it better. They're not busting as much. And the defense is playing some pretty good defense. And it's hard to stop offenses in college football today, but the Sooners are doing a pretty good job of it. And so they're becoming better as a team. And Mims, at the punt return and kickoff return, has been a pleasant surprise. And, of course, he's one of their leading receivers, too, Irvin Mims, as a freshman. And so this team is coming together. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good squad.
You know, defensively, they're always trying to get better. Who stands out in your mind? And did you like the defensive line performance?
Well, the defensive line's playing better. It's been really a strength, despite the fact, until last week, they didn't have Ronnie Perkins, who's their best player.
Right.
And Ronnie was good at defensive end last week. He played well. But Isaiah Thomas has really stepped up. He's a junior now out of Tulsa. He's always had good speed, and he's really played well. He's become a major factor on the defensive side of the ball. I think the rotation, and Perrion Winfrey at the nose tackle spot, who's a 6'3", 293-pound flat belly, wears number 8, which is weird. The Sooners will line up with number 7 and number 8 along the defensive line. You don't see that every day. Perkins is 7, Winfrey is 8. But, you know, he's become a really talented nose tackle. But the backups, Jordan Kelly, Corey Roberson, LaRon Stokes, all those guys are playing really well. And that defensive line has certainly been a bright spot for the Sooners this year. At linebacker, they've been okay. You know, in the secondary, the influx of young, talented young players who are highly rated and highly thought of has really helped in the secondary, and I think that's pushed competition back there and made those guys better.
You talk about defense. Let's talk some offense. You'd mentioned earlier their young quarterback in Spencer Rattler. How much has he improved, James, since the start of the season?
Leaps and bounds. I mean, he's just been so much better because he's not turning the ball over. You know, in the first two losses, he turned the ball over. Against Texas, when he got benched for a quarter, he turned the ball over. But he's not doing that. He hasn't done that. And he says his goal is to not have another turnover the rest of the way. His decision-making is getting better. He's not going for the home run every time. If he has to dump it off, he's doing that. He's been a positive guy. I mean, he's playing quarterback as well as just about anybody in the country. I think he was in the Heisman top 5 in the latest Heisman tallies and things like that that they do every week. And I'm not surprised. I mean, Spencer's posting big numbers. He would have had even bigger numbers, but he's had a couple of drops in the last couple of games, and that's costing probably 70 to 80 yards in both games, or his numbers would be a lot better. You know, Spencer is a great quarterback. He's young. He's a redshirt freshman, but his talent is off the charts, and he's really, really good. Arm talent is great. Mm-hmm. He's becoming a better leader. The team's listening to him. I'm telling you, this guy's special. He's going to be another great quarterback at OU.
There is no place like home. 19th-ranked Oklahoma, 4-2. They will host the Kansas Jayhawks this afternoon at 2:30 Eastern Time. Kickoff, our very special guest, as always, James Hale, host of Total Sports, 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Thank you, Jay. Enjoy the game. We'll talk soon.
Hey, have a great day. See ya.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. We're going to do a crossover, talk some LSU Tigers here in just a moment.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it is week 10 of the college football season, and the conversation continues at Sports Map Radio Network and the Big East Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different platforms and ways to connect. You can always join us. We are live on Twitter at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, and podcast arena.com. Well, this week we are going to shine the spotlight on LSU, and it has been a season that has not gone according to plan for the defending national champions. So we've extended an invitation to Sports Illustrated reporter that covers the Tigers to join us and to provide some insight on this year. And also we're going to highlight his new book that he co-authored, 100 Things LSU Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. We are so honored to welcome to the program, and that is Ross Dellinger. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on the program. And the Tigers, let's talk about them. They are coming off another disappointing loss, and this time it was against Auburn. So they currently stand 2-3 and fourth in the SEC West Division. How surprised are you to see such a dramatic drop-off from last year and from winning it all?
Yeah, certainly not the type of season that you expected. You know, we all expected a drop-off from 15-0. There's when you lose as much as LSU did, basically lost, I think, 18 or 17 of the 22 starters from the championship team, and lost the defensive coordinator, lost the pass game coordinator, and Joe Brady, and of course, maybe most of all, lost Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner. So you knew there was going to be a drop off, and in fact, going into the season, I think most polls had LSU in the top five or top seven, and they were my most overrated team for a reason. I think that you expected a drop-off, not necessarily this steep that we've seen, because haven't even met my what were pretty low expectations of a 6-4 type of year. They're barreling toward and maybe 4-6 or worse type of year. Yeah, it's been kind of shocking to see. Most of all, most surprising has certainly been the defense. Bo Pelini now coaching that defense, and they are really struggling. It's been a while since I've seen an LSU defense have so many holes and so many missed assignments. It's been fairly stunning, that part of it.
College football reporter for Sports Illustrated, Ross Dellinger, is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. Here momentarily, we're going to talk about his new book that he co-authored, 100 Things LSU Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You talk about the struggles for the Tigers defensively, but I want to highlight the true freshman quarterback who is now starting for LSU. What can you share about TJ Finley? I mean, he's young. He's an impressive guy. I mean, imposing, 6'6", and he is from the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, he is, and I think that he's certainly got a bright future ahead of him. It sure feels like that when you watch him play. And he's had some struggles. Obviously, he struggled against Auburn with ball security, and that's kind of a freshman thing that you almost expect from a player like that, that young. But for sure, he showed in a few games that you know, he has got potential to be a very good player. And he might be playing for a while this season. I think that Miles Brennan, the starting quarterback entering the year, who had a pretty good season up until an abdomen type issue that he suffered, and I think it was some kind of tear actually in his abdomen muscle, which is pretty serious because he's having trouble, I think, twisting and turning, which obviously makes it difficult to throw a pass, and you wonder if he'll ever return near full strength to be back this year. I certainly question that, and so DJ Finley might have himself almost a full season of starting, which certainly would bode well for him in the future.
College football reporter for Sports Illustrated, Ross Dellinger, with us, Sports Map Radio Network. So what do you think is the keys to accelerate Finley's, just this process and helping him get comfortable? I mean, you talked about you've seen some flashes of potential. I mean, what do you like? What have you seen, Ross?
Well, he obviously has he's big, as you mentioned. He's big and pretty strong, and he has mobility even for being a big, strong kid and that young. It's clear that he has a little mobility there in his feet. There have certainly been struggles throwing the ball, but pretty clearly he has a pretty big arm too as well. And I didn't get to watch the entire game, but the game against South Carolina, put up some pretty impressive numbers. Threw for a lot of yards, ran for a good amount of yards as well. So he's against an SEC defense. I know South Carolina is not any kind of world beater, but mm-hmm. against an SEC defense, that was sure impressive.
Well, the good news is LSU is actually, they are off this week. Hopefully they can regroup and finish the season strong. I believe their next opponent is Arkansas. So, what do you think is the biggest, what can they fix? What can they control to try to, get the train back on the tracks and kind of finish this out?
Well, I'm sure they would wish that their next opponent was Arkansas. Unfortunately, it's the other team that starts with the letter A in the SEC, Alabama. So they'll have some.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the next. No, that's okay. And, I think they get Arkansas the week after, I want to say. It's going to be tough. Alabama is Alabama, and a Nick Saban coach team. We saw what LSU did, snapping the losing streak. I think it was an 8-game losing streak to Alabama last year.
That's right.
Something tells me we will not see a similar result next Saturday. You said they are off this weekend, and maybe they'll use the week off to fix some problems. But it is certainly going to be a high hurdle in beating Alabama. I wonder if the Tide can hit the 60-point mark against LSU, just the way LSU's defense has been playing.
Well, so many teams this year, obviously, they've been impacted by COVID-19. Talk about LSU. What is Coach Ed Orgeron? What does he share as far as playing social distance football?
Yeah, well, it's certainly for the university a significant financial impact. They losing a lot of money, and I think they will end up probably taking out quite a big loan, $50 million plus loan, and they laid off 8 to 10, I believe, athletic department staff members and cut salaries. So not having fans, not having full ticket sales is having an impact. As far as LSU's COVID issues, they've certainly had them. We reported back in late June about an outbreak at LSU that was tied to a row of bars that are near to the campus. And I think things have gotten better, but there's a good chance that dozens of LSU football players and staff members in that building have at one point tested positive. Thankfully, none of them had serious symptoms. And so for the next few months, of course, once you test positive, and a lot of their big outbreak was June and July, you're at least 3 months, if not 4 months, immune to the virus and don't have to be tested. So in a way, it's good, but that immunity is starting to wear down. So I'm sure they're starting to test more and more players having come out of that immunity.
You're listening to The Voice, Ross Dellinger, college football reporter for Sports Illustrated, also co-author of the brand new book, 100 Things LSU Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It presents the storied history of one of college athletics' most iconic and successful institutions. So when our readers, I mean, the holidays are just around the corner, perfect stocking stuffer. I mean, when they open it up, what are they going to find?
Well, you know, I'll certainly find a lot of things, hopefully, about LSU that they never knew. There's a lot of history in that book, especially for millennial-type fans and younger fans who just don't know a lot about the rich and deep history going back 50 to 70 years of LSU football. Because I know that we like to talk about the recent LSU golden age that really began when Nick Saban took over LSU in 2000 and running to last year, three national championships, I think five or six SEC championships. But there was another golden age. It was back in the 50s, and a lot of people don't know about that. LSU won the 1959 national championship. It was really good through the course of those years with Paul Dietzel as head coach and Billy Cannon, of course, Heisman winner Billy Cannon at running back or halfback, as they called it then. So a lot of history, stories about old games and even recent games. And then there's probably 60 of the 100 chapters are about people, you know, coaches, administrators, players, athletes that came through LSU.
What did you share about Heisman winner Joe Burrow?
Obviously I was an LSU beat writer for the Advocate in Baton Rouge for 5 years, but my time as a beat writer ended as Joe arrived. It was funny. I joined SI in May of 2018 as a national writer and got off of the LSU beat, and Joe signed with LSU in May of 2018. Funny story, my last night really as a beat writer covering LSU for the Advocate was the same night that the university announced that Joe Burrow would transfer to LSU.
Wow.
So it was weird.
No kidding. Uh-huh.
But I still covered him quite a bit in my role with SI, and last year, of course, I followed their season very closely and met with Joe multiple times and spent a whole day with him at one point during SEC Media Days last July. I feel like I have a fairly deep knowledge of Joe and his family, and I think I hopefully put words accurately in the book. I think he might be the number one chapter, the first chapter of the book.
He is, absolutely. So give us an assessment of his rookie season with the Bengals. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been really impressive. He's obviously on a team that has struggled, but he's making them a lot better. Joe has it all. He's got the temperament. He's got the leadership skills. He's got the accuracy and mobility. And he has got the football acumen in the deep knowledge of the game, and he always wants to learn more. We're going to see, and we're seeing it maybe this year because of LSU struggles, how important Joe was and how good he is. And I think he's got a very bright future in the NFL.
Sports Illustrated's college football reporter Ross Dellinger with us. Just a few more minutes. Sports Map Radio Network. His brand new book that is out, 100 Things LSU Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. What's really cool about this book, and you'd mentioned that, it's not just an exclusive football book. You highlight and celebrate the great Shaquille O'Neal. We love him, right?
Absolutely. Hard not to
to
love Shaq. I've gotten a chance to spend a little time with him.
Have
not
you
much,
really?
But
okay.
Enough to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he's come back when I was a beat writer at LSU to several games. So I've been on the sideline with him during football games, which I'm 6'3", looking up at people, but certainly was looking up at him.
Good stuff. Ross Dellinger has been our very special guest. Sports Map Radio Network. Go out and get a copy of his book, 100 Things LSU Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Thank you so much. You have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you this morning at eRadio Sports Info at eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Hey, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install your wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And we are ready to talk some PGA news and notes and provide the latest from the Houston Open. Always excited to open up the mic and welcome back in former PGA Tour player and author, and that is Larry Miller. Hey, happy Saturday, Larry.
Yeah, happy Saturday. Good morning, everybody. And, gee, we're bearing down on the Masters now, which is, it sounds kind of weird in November, but here we are.
Yes, it's an exciting weekend on the PGA Tour, but you're right, Larry. We are just 1 week away from the Masters. We're going to talk about that in this morning's program. But here we are, our home base, if you're just tuning in at SportsMap Radio Network, our home base is Houston. And so let's talk about this stellar field. Who you got and who do you think is going to win?
Well, don't count DJ out. Tough golf course, the way he's improved his putting. You know, the greens are the real feature there on that course. They are super fast, and that's exactly why you've got all the elite players wanting to play there before the Masters, because it gets you ready for those slick greens at Augusta. And so that's, you know, every year you'll see all the big guns start turning out and want to play Houston, a lot of them, you know, just to get ready for that, because it really takes some getting used to. You know, those greens at Augusta are just about unique to anything they play during the year. And so you don't just walk out there, you know, without any preparation or getting used to it. So I think the greens at in Houston there on that course approximate the greens at Augusta just about as closely as any course does. And so that's why you see that. Now, you know, saying that, the way that DJ has improved his putting so much, boy, you know, he's coming back fresh after having that little bad sort of slump or bad spell that he had. He came back, played great. I think he's a force to be reckoned with, not only this week, but also at Augusta.
I think you're right, Larry. All eyes will be on the reigning FedEx Cup champion, Dustin Johnson, who actually, he's returning to action after missing several starts due to COVID-19 and testing positive. You were talking about kind of that slump that he was in the month of May. We'll reflect on that momentarily, but what do you think is the biggest challenge for DJ recovering from COVID-19 and getting back into sync as a golfer? I mean, this is his first start in over 6 weeks, Larry.
Yeah, well, it's just the rust. And, you know, we talk about rust all the time with Tiger, the way he's unable to play all the time and practice a lot. He pops out all of a sudden and tries to play and just has too much rust to play in competition the way you play when practicing. You know, as everyone knows, there's a tremendous difference between playing golf and playing high-level competitive golf. I mean, it's just worlds apart. And you have to do a lot of it to be used to it. Now, of course, DJ's been playing this whole time and practicing, but once again, not in competition. But, you know, one thing about DJ, his personality, you know, the way he's so laid back and chilled out all the time, it really is, it's kind of a little bit more conducive to playing rusty than somebody who's more hyper, you know, more high strung on the golf course. And so, he might be unaffected or less affected, you know, by the rustiness and the laying off, you know, than other players. So I don't think in his case it's going to be as much of a factor. You know, DJ seems to play in the final round of a major as if he's on a Saturday morning with his buddies, you know, and he's got that same relaxed feeling and attitude, which is one reason he's been so successful. The pressure doesn't get to him like it does many, many other players. So, you know, I don't think in his case that it's going to be a major factor, and I expect him to play really well.
What would you like to see from him specifically as he heads into Augusta next week?
Well, I'd like to see his driving continue to be, you know, one of the strongest parts of his game. And I'm not talking about just length, but I'm talking about his accuracy, too. You know, DJ has learned how to hit it really long and really straight. And when he's on, you know, that's a pretty lethal combination in his case because of the fact that he is such a good wedge player. You know, he's made himself a great wedge player the way he has been able to dial in the distances on his wedges. And he hits it so far, he's got a lot of wedges to holes. So, and then we mentioned earlier his improved putting. So, I mean, look at that combination. He's putting well, he's dialed in his wedges, and he hits it long and straight. So if his driving is on, he's hard to beat anytime, anywhere, on any course.
He is such a complete player. What is the key to having a consistent wedge game?
Well, you have to get your distances exact. And the TrackMan has been, you know, of course, with all the players, been a very valuable asset in learning exactly how far, you know, what kind of swing produces a 65-yard shot or a 105-yard shot. And because they can hit ball after ball after ball with TrackMan and learn what exactly the length of swing and the force of swing that will send the ball exact distances. And that's been the thing that has contributed to great wedge play by some of these players. And the other thing is having soft hands. You know, and when I say soft hands, you don't want a lot of violent rotating of the club face with your hands during the swing with wedges. If you do that with wedges, you're not going to hit them at the stick all the time. But if you swing with rhythm and soft hands, not trying to rotate that blade too much, and you got your distances dialed in, you're going to have a lot of short birdie putts.
Larry Miller is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player. He is the author of 4 books on golf and performance. His latest release, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. We're breaking it all down for you. The 2020 Houston Open, it is underway, shining the spotlight actually right now on DJ and the expectations for him over the weekend and leading up to Augusta. You know, when we started this morning's conversation, we were talking about DJ back in the month of May. He was in a slump. How do you muscle through something like that?
Boy, when you get in a slump, everybody's been in them, and everybody out there listening, you know that you've had spells where you've just played really well, and then all of a sudden it goes away, and you just can't do anything right, and it snowballs. It becomes more and more of a snarled mess, you know, when you get all wound up in mechanics, and you start looking at your grip and your, you know, everything else, and it can drive you crazy, and it just can. It can go on and on. It can proliferate for a while. The best way to deal with a slump, when you get in a slump, is a couple of things. First of all, you've really got to just try to get away from all the mechanical thoughts and go back to fundamentals. Go back to your basic fundamentals. And I'm talking about the simple things like keeping your stead heady during your head steady, mm-hmm, during the swing. Working on balance, finishing your swing in balance and holding your finish. If you try to keep your head steady and swing to the finish of your swing and hold that finish for a few seconds in balance, it's amazing how that can get you out of a mechanical slump. And that's what Jack Nicklaus did. Every season he would go to his teacher, his swing coach, Jack Grout, and Jack would only work on basic fundamentals, things like posture, keeping the head steady, swinging in balance, and finishing in balance. And the second thing is your alignment. You know, you work on your alignment when you're in a slump. Quite often, little things can get off in your alignment. You may be aiming a little too much to the right. You may have your shoulders open. So you want to get those... you know, the old railroad deal where you have the rails on track where you got your club aiming down one rail, and then you want your feet, your knees, your hips, your shoulders all parallel to that line. So if you key on those things when you're in a slump, you'll get out of it a lot faster than if you start trying to do piecemeal mechanical thoughts like, you know, where are my hands at the top of my swing? Where are my hands halfway back? You know, things like that. Is my grip right? you start thinking about all that, and then you lose all sense of rhythm and tempo. You know, you got to get back to simplicity when you're in a slump, and it will shorten the duration of it if you just rid yourself of all the swing thoughts and just key on the basics.
Some great information from former PGA pro Larry Miller joining us this morning at Sports Map Radio Network. Okay, let's move ahead. We're going to continue talking about the Houston Open. What are your thoughts on Brooks Koepka? Here he is, a four-time major, but we've talked about this on the program. He's been very inconsistent in 2020. Obviously, he's still recovering from his knee injuries and his hip. What would you like to see from him?
Well, he's in the thing we just talked about, sort of a slump. He hasn't performed well. He's had a couple of good rounds, but then he's thrown a lot of bad rounds in there, and he just can't seem to sustain it for 4 days and get it together. But, you know, he's too talented. It's like DJ, you know, when his driver is on and he hits it so long and straight, that's when he becomes dangerous. And so once again, it's the driver is the key. And, you know, I talk about this all the time. To me, people talk about putting and drive for show and putt for dough. But to me, the driver has always been the most important club to me. Cause if you're driving it straight and long enough, You're in the fairway all day with good lies,
mm-hmm.
and you've got shorter shots to the green, and you're going to score well. It's a funny thing. I've always putted better when I drive it well, and I don't know if it's because it gives you confidence or what.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Koepka, he's got to sustain it for four days, and not just have one or two good rounds during a tournament. And I think he'll work his way out of it. He's just too talented not to.
Well, it could be a big week for him. It would be a tremendous opportunity, the last tournament before the biggest event of the year with the Masters next week. Now, good news, spectators have been allowed at this year's event at Memorial Park. In fact, 2,000 fans per day. It's in wide open spaces. It's a beautiful, historic golf course. And Larry, you and I were kind of talking a little bit before this morning's program, and you have had the opportunity in years past to play this course. What do you think of Memorial Park?
Well, I think it's a great layout. It's one of those traditional, layout, great golf course with, the bunkering it's an intelligent design, and what I mean by that is you don't see a really long, tough hole with a bunker right in front of the green, but now if you have a short hole, then you'll see it more well bunkered and tight bunkered around the green. So it's an intelligent design that requires some shot making. And, I think it brings into the mix, a lot of the shot makers who aren't necessarily bombers of the golf ball. And so, I think it makes for an interesting golf tournament when you have a combination of that. You've got the bombers and then you've got the shot makers. And so, when that happens, it normally comes down to who makes the most putts. And so that's always, it's kind of a crapshoot to try to figure out who's going to make the most
uh-huh.
putts in any given week.
Uh-huh.
But the guy that does it, is the person that often wins the golf tournament. So let's watch the putting statistics this week at Memorial and see how they do on those greens. I think they'll ride that momentum right into Augusta if they get the putter going.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with former PGA Tour player Larry Miller.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller. Well, Memorial Park, it is a special venue, a municipal golf course, and it's been redesigned, a great stop before Augusta National. Were you surprised that Tiger, that he opted not to play in this weekend's event?
I am surprised, and it makes you wonder what's going on, if he's just not ready physically. I just can't imagine that he thinks that he can just step out after weeks and weeks of no competition and try to win a golf tournament. It just seems, like he's too smart to think that. So that really makes me think that it's more than that, that it's just he doesn't feel physically ready. I think Tiger has to feel like 110% physically ready for him to enter a golf tournament these days with his you know, with his physical problems, all the surgeries and everything. So I don't know. But, yeah, I am a little bit surprised that he didn't at least try to play this tournament just to get some competition under his belt. But you know, maybe it's because he can't.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time with former PGA Pro at SportsMap Radio Network, and that is Larry Miller. As we close out this morning's interview, give us some tips on how to survive and thrive during winter golf. I mean, it's hard to believe. I mean, we're already blowing through the month of November, so give us some cold winter golf survival guide tips.
Yeah, well, in my case, it's dress warm. I mean, is that okay. Pretty obvious or what? You know, my grandson calls me Captain Obvious sometimes. Aww. But no, you have to. And especially your feet. You know, make sure your feet are warm.
Absolutely.
Because if your feet get cold, you know, then your legs get cold. And your legs, when they get cold, they don't move as well. So make sure you've got some nice warm socks on that don't make your shoes too tight. You want your feet to be comfortable and warm. And then aside from that, make sure you're wearing clothing that enables you to make a full turn. You know, you don't want to have so much stuff on that you can't make a full shoulder turn. And also be careful what you buy in that regard, because make sure it's warm but also loose fitting enough where you can swing and turn.
That's some great advice. Larry Miller, former PGA Pro. We look forward to our Masters preview next week. Thank you so much for joining us, Larry. You and Connie have a great weekend.
Great. Talk to you next week, everybody. Have fun.
You bet. Come on back. SportsMap Radio Network and the Big East Sports Show.